The Athletic.
It's Straight Out of Cobham, a show about Chelsea FC from The Athletic. Coming up, it's back to Wembley for the FA Cup semi-final. Speaking of semis, the women go to Barcelona and go top of the league. And we'll do a quiz, available for free, wherever you get your podcasts and ad-free on The Athletic. This is Straight Out of Cobham. Coming at you in double quick fashion this week, what with the Tuesday and Thursday show listener. It's me, Matt. I'm back with the two Chelsea experts of The Athletic stable. Hello, Simon Johnson.
Hello.
Liam Toomey's back with us too. You okay, Liam?
Yeah, I'm good. A big Wembley pitch, a tired Manchester City. The world is alive with possibilities.
I just like the fact that we've switched the narrative and it's going to be the one that got away for City rather than the one that got away for Chelsea this time, we hope. Let's get straight into it, shall we? Chelsea at Wembley on Saturday tea time. The Blues returning to the National Stadium for the second time this season for the not at all daunting task of taking on Manchester City. We wondered how you were feeling ahead of this one. Listener Peebles says, you know what, I have confidence. Chelsea step up against the big boys. We'll lose in the final, obviously, but we could pull off an upset here. You can call me Al, added. Palmer continues his trajectory and scores 5 goals. Simon, how much have things changed in terms of Chelsea's chances of winning this match, given what happened on Wednesday night and Manchester City being eliminated from the Champions League, but maybe more pertinently, playing 120 minutes before that happened?
I think it was the perfect scenario if you're Chelsea. The mileage on the legs, the psychological disappointment of the treble gone, the retaining of the Champions League gone. If you think of Man City's preparation for the game, today will be a very light recovery session. So they'll only have tomorrow to prepare for the game. Chelsea, meanwhile, have had, of course, most of the week to get themselves ready for it, plus the confidence lifter that was the 6-0 win over Everton. So going into it, I would say Man City are still favourites. They have to be. No one would deny that they are the better team. But they are going into it with a bit of a, you know, under a bit of a cloud, which seems pertinent to discuss England's spring. But the sun is shining, so maybe the sun is shining on Chelsea getting to an FA Cup final. You could also flip it around and go, Chelsea going back to the place where they've got bad memories of the humbling against Liverpool's inexperienced bunch just a few months ago. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it though, despite my rather measured build up to it. I think if you can't get excited about Chelsea being at Wembley, then you might as well watch something else. What's a decent box set series at the moment? Binge worthy series at the moment, something like that.
Yeah, slow horses for me. Or if you can't get excited about it, you've watched Chelsea's last, 7 appearances at Wembley in finals.
I thought you were going to say you can watch Chelsea's last press conference for a bit of drama.
There certainly was. So City out of the Champions League, Liam, winning back-to-back European Cups only for the truly elite English teams, I think it's fair to say. But they are looking to win the FA Cup for the second season in succession. Do you think it plays into Chelsea's favour that they won't be the favourites for this one? I mean, unless at 4:15 the team sheets drop and it's Manchester City's under-17s.
Yeah, I think it's the right combination of some real favourable circumstances, which we've talked about with the rest advantage and City's experience in the Champions League. So a combination of that and the fact that as long as City turn up with 11 players coached by Pep Guardiola, they will rightly be favourites for this game. So there's no way that Chelsea can suddenly psychologically find themselves in a situation where, oh my word, if we don't win this, not only is it a disappointment, it's an utter humiliation, which is the situation they found themselves in quite bizarrely against Liverpool with the way that final played out. Now, the flip side to that is you're facing a wounded, angry Manchester City as well. And you don't necessarily need the energy reserves to be at the top if you've got anger to fuel the adrenaline. And that's something that Chelsea will have to be mindful of. And regardless of how fresh and firing Manchester City are, I think Chelsea will need to get their game plan pretty much as perfect as they did for 60, 70 minutes at the Etihad in order to have a chance of winning this semi-final. Because you know there will be moments in the game where Kevin De Bruyne does something, Phil Foden does something. They just exert so much pressure on you with their system, the way they pin you back. The thing that struck me again about City against Real Madrid, and it struck me the Chelsea game at the Etihad, they are an overwhelmingly physical team. You know, everyone talks about how technically good they are and Guardiola's system, but they completely destroy you with their physicality. You know, Guardiola regularly lines up with four massive centre backs. Rodri, who's huge, Kevin De Bruyne, who is really, really well built and really puts himself about, and Erling Haaland, who's a physical freak of a centre forward. And that's just really hard to live with. Chelsea are not the most physical team, so that's something they will have to stand up to as well. But they're just going to have to be tactically on point, technically on point, and completely united if they get any opportunity, say, from 12 yards out.
Well, I think Cole Palmer will take the penalty. I also think he'll start this game. That's my bold prediction. Let's go through the rest of the team, though, Simon. We'll start in defence. Do you think Axel Disasi comes back in if he's fit, or did you see enough from Thiago Silva and Trevor Chalobah to think that they're the way to go in this game? Obviously, Disasi was the block master at the Etihad in February.
Well, I think there's two ways of answering that question. It's like, what would I do and what's Poch going to do? And I'll be amazed if Disasi is not back in the team, if he's fit, in terms of what Poch is going to do. He's picked Disasi. I think he's made more appearances than anyone else this season.
And that was pretty much his best game in a Chelsea shirt, wasn't it, at the Etihad?
I was about to say, yeah, it was his pinnacle. It was when I started to think, oh, maybe I got it wrong with Disasi. Maybe he's a better player than I thought. And then since then, he's been terrible. So let's hope Man City inspires him to climb the mountain peak of his best performances, so we can see more celebrations of clearances and interventions that we saw at the Etihad. Because it was an outstanding performance. Answers on a postcard to what's happened to him since. He's been almost the weakest link at the back there, including scoring own goals and all sorts. So, but yeah, I think he will play alongside. I mean, the question is Thiago Silva. It is Chelsea's first clean sheet for what seems like 2024 coincides with him being at the back. Not that Chelsea were too rock solid against Everton, but you did see the element of leadership that is lacking when he's not on the pitch. He was, even in the pre-match huddle, I've not seen this before. He was actually giving some of the speech. I don't know what he was saying in his fluent English, but he clearly got his point across. But Chalobah, you feel like you can't drop him at the moment. I think he's showing again that arguably he's one of Chelsea's best defenders, and yet he probably won't be there next season.
What about left back, Liam? We saw Ben Chilwell come on and play on the wing, didn't we, on Monday night? Do you think there's any chance that he supplants Cucurella in that position?
I think there's a decent chance we'll see both of them over the course of the game. It will probably come down to a judgment call from Pochettino as to how ready Chilwell is, because Pochettino has spoken at length this season about the challenge of reconditioning players who've been injured and bringing them back into action while Chelsea is still trying to win games. And he tried to do that a bit by bringing Chilwell on against Everton, but it could be, you know, this is not a game to find your legs. You have to have your legs from minute one. I think the alternative worry is I'm really not sure that a left flank of Cucurella and Mudryk will stand up to much scrutiny from Bernardo Silva, Kevin De Bruyne underlapping on that side. You know, the kind of pressure that Manchester City put on you. There's so much off-ball movement, and, you know, Mudryk showed against Everton that I think that's still a weakness in his game, in terms of the protection that he can offer a fullback. And Cucurella still has a mistake in him, although I do think he's been playing better. So it's a big decision. It's not the only big decision though. I think, you know, is Enzo Fernandez fit? And what does that look like for the midfield? Because I think it's very unlikely that Pochettino lines up for this game in the kind of 4-2-3-1 that we saw against Everton. I think he's going to go with three proper midfielders and Cole Palmer operating from the right. That's what he's done in both games against City so far. And you just need that extra man in midfield to even provide some resistance to the passing machine that City are.
All right, well, Andrew says the perfect game for Mudryk to go full Timo Werner on Wembley's big pitch, countering behind City's high line and set up a win which no one is expecting. Silva starting and forcing us to sit deeper could actually help our counter-attacking game plan too. The Enzo thing is an interesting one, Simon. Luke said on Monday he thinks that he'll come back in. Liam thinks that as well. We saw Moises Caicedo have what I think was his best game for Chelsea on Monday night. A lot of people putting two and two together and coming up with Enzo not being there as the reason for that. Do you think that that was the case? Do you think Enzo's coming back in? And did Caicedo just play well because Everton's midfield stayed on Merseyside?
Yeah, a bit of all of those. I think Fernandez has definitely felt the pace of his schedule. I think over the last few years, very intense schedule, very intense period in his career. He's been very leggy at times this season. But don't forget, when Chelsea played Man City in both games, Enzo Fernandez was there and part of two very good performances. So he's not suddenly this weakest link in totality. There should be sort of some recognition that Pochettino's been searching for the perfect balance all along, and Caicedo has been working on his game as much as Fernandez has. Their partnership is, I think, is thought of best in the games I remember when they've played very close together with Gallagher just in front. And that sort of feels like the possible setup that Poch will go with. If memory serves, and my memory's terrible these days, Nicholas Jackson played on the flank, I think, at the Etihad. And that sort of gave, I think that was a bit of a surprise for City. So, and he played very well. So let's sort of see if Pochettino sort of switches it around again and goes with that. Because the good thing is Jackson's in a bit of form, bit of confidence. He shows he's ready to wrestle for the ball, even with his own teammates. So he's clearly got a bit of passion to score, even if it's not always managed the best way.
The other part of Chelsea's midfield consideration is that by bringing Enzo back, you allow Gallagher to move forward and reprise that role shadowing Rodri that he did so well at the Etihad. If you want to have any hope of making City's passing carousel malfunction, you have to disrupt Rodri. He's the hub of it all. And I think Gallagher did a really good job of that in that game, for at least while he had the legs.
And speaking of the brilliant memory aforementioned, suddenly something tweaked up there. It said, I think there's a stat going around that hasn't Connor won the most possession back in the opposition half or something in the top five European leagues or something stupid like that, or certainly in the Premier League. So again, sort of touching on Liam's point, is that that's kind of where you want Connor, isn't it? Is in Man City's face and doing that job. Because when he plays a bit deeper, he did it very well against Everton, but I would actually say that's a bit of an outlier. Like, he's generally not looked that good when he's further back. I like him further forward when he's causing a bit of trouble. And let's hope he has his shooting boots on, because he's missed a few chances over the course of the season, which is the one thing that's sort of letting him down in terms of the season he's had.
Well, Chelsea haven't lost since the last time they were at Wembley for the League Cup final. Liam, do you think this game is going to more closely resemble the chaos of the 4-4 at the Bridge or the siege of the draw at the Etihad?
I think that's what's so interesting about playing City is it's quite rare for two matches against them to be the same. And I think Guardiola will definitely have looked closely at the way Chelsea caused City problems in that game, in that second game, with those, you know, funneling City wide and then basically luring them into little pressing traps in the middle of the pitch in those wide areas. Chelsea had a lot of success with that. I'd expect City to react to that and do something different. It's so hard to predict. Guardiola could do something mad and just like play Rodri on the left wing or something. Like I've seen him start.
Or leave him out even.
Yeah.
Well, 2021.
Yeah. You know, I remember a game at Stamford Bridge a couple of years ago where he just randomly started João Cancelo on the right wing when he'd been playing left back all season. That these are the kinds of things that Guardiola does. And they either work for his team or they don't. But it makes him quite hard to game plan for. I think Chelsea will set up to nullify the things, the general principles of City's play. And there are certain things that you know are going to be the case. Like we joked about Rodri, but he will be there. You know roughly where he's going to be on the pitch. And that's one thing that you can affect. But in terms of everything else, I think you just have to try and adapt and survive as Real Madrid did.
Yeah, it was last season at the Bridge, wasn't it, when he brought Rico Lewis on at half-time and we all thought that he was a left-back and he put him in central midfield and dominated the game at 12 years of age or whatever he was. We did put a poll out to see what you guys think is going to happen. And as it stands, a Chelsea win in 90 minutes is leading the way with 45.5% of the vote. City in 90, 25.1. Chelsea to do it in extra time, 9.2%. That's the same as Chelsea to win on penalty. So we're all feeling pretty positive about this game, which is a big worry. Liam, what's your prediction?
I don't feel we've done a very good job as a podcast building our brand if we've attracted such an optimistic listenership.
Yeah, this is very off-brand. No one's been listening to me all these months, that's for sure.
Come on then, give me a prediction. What's going to happen?
I think Chelsea are going to play well. They've generally played well against the bigger teams this year and it's generally been close. I'm going to go, just to dull the optimism, 2-1 City with a late winner. Heartbreak.
Oh, God. Simon, you're the man we look for the glass half full perspective.
I've stolen Simon's prediction, I can tell.
A bit robbed of my moment of gloom and doom. 2-0 City.
All right, I'll say 3-1 Chelsea. How about that?
Oof.
Lucy, what do you think?
No comment. No, Chelsea are going to win 1-0.
Okay, lovely. We'll take that. We'll see. Whatever happens, we'll reflect on it on Monday's show. Next today, though, we'll look ahead to the Women's Champions League semi-final first leg.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Well, there's a huge game for the women's team this weekend. They've got a Champions League semi-final first leg against the mighty Barcelona. Here to help us preview it is The Athletic's very own Charlotte Harper. Before we get there, though, Charlotte, a big win for Chelsea in the WSL on Wednesday night. I mean, normally building up to a Champions League semi-final, you'd say a midweek game might not be the ideal preparation. But I think this maybe was, because it allowed Chelsea to play themselves back into form and they had a really easy night against 10 players for the majority of the match.
I think you spin it however way you want to. Emma Hayes always says, we love game after game. You know, it keeps the rhythm. Players want to play, which I can get. Maybe if there had been a defeat or they'd lost points, there would have been complaints about why the FA had scheduled a midweek game. Surely you want your English team to do the best that they can in the Champions League. But after back-to-back defeats against Arsenal in the Conti Cup and Manchester United in the FA Cup semi-final, a very positive evening for Chelsea against Aston Villa, 3-0, get minutes for some players who haven't started, but also subs coming on who will probably start against Barcelona on Saturday.
But it wasn't all good news. Lauren James didn't play. She's injured. And Emma Hayes was rather evasive when she spoke about it afterwards, right? So we don't know if she's going to be available for Saturday.
We don't. It was briefed to us by the press officer that it was a foot injury. I asked Emma, is the foot injury correct? She wouldn't comment. Is there any timescale? She wouldn't comment. So hopefully Lauren James will be available on Saturday. She didn't train on Tuesday. Is this mind games from Emma Hayes? Is this putting the seed of doubt into the Barcelona manager, Jonathan Giraldez, to say, you know, maybe you shouldn't set up your team in anticipation of James starting? I don't know. I think Emma Hayes probably has a plan in her head. She's very good at orchestrating that media line. Let the mind games commence against the biggest game for Chelsea this season.
Hi, Charlotte. I'm personally hoping that Emma Hayes does a Mourinho and a day or so before the game just names Barcelona's starting 11 and her starting 11 with Lauren James included, regardless of whether she's going to play or not, just to really put the cat among the pigeons. I wanted to ask for this first game, because last year's clash between these two teams was very, very tight, wasn't it, over two legs. Is it more important, especially if Chelsea are depleted in attack, to really keep this tight than try to go and try and score an away goal?
It's really interesting, because last year, the first tie was at Stamford Bridge and you needed a result there. And I didn't think Chelsea were brave enough, and then actually went away to Barcelona and put in a really good performance, but the draw wasn't enough. So this year, I do think they have the advantage that if they keep it tight away, they then can return to Stamford Bridge and really go for it a bit more. But you can't lose 3-4-0, and you have to have something to play for coming back to Stamford Bridge. So yeah, I agree. I think Emma will keep it tight defensively, keep it compact, and play a lot on the counter, especially with Mayra Ramirez and her pace in behind.
Hi, Charlotte. Emma's been a bit like me lately, a bit grumpy. Do you think that she's feeling the pressure of her last dance, as it were, the threat of it sort of coming undone, or is she just being her usual self and sort of putting us journos in our place occasionally?
I think she has felt the pressure. Katie Wyatt, my colleague at The Athletic, wrote a really good piece on this. I encourage you to read it. There have been some uncharacteristic missteps with her comments in the media. First, when she said about player-to-player relationships, she then said, okay, yeah, inappropriate was the incorrect word to use. And then with Jonas Eidevall and male aggression after the Conti Cup final. But then the use of the poem, the mind games, I think that's then her way of dealing with it and deflecting. But, you know, this is not the most testing period in terms of struggles that she's had. But I think it's definitely she's under the microscope, the most scrutiny. And Katie said this from the US side and the UK side. But she's a seasoned pro at this. It's not like they've not been competing for four trophies before. Yes, they've lost two of them. Yes, they've lost before. But in some senses, she knows what she's doing. I just think off the pitch and the comments in the media suggest perhaps those cracks are starting to show. And against Ajax, I actually asked her, are you okay? And she just said, I'm really tired. Which you can read it however much you want to read it. And maybe 3-4 years down the line, she'll come out and say, you know what, doing that US job and the Chelsea job, she says her full focus in Chelsea was just way too much. Or she may say, nope, it was fine. I'm managing Chelsea as I've always managed Chelsea and nothing changes.
So that's Chelsea. Tell us a bit about Barcelona. We know they've obviously beaten Chelsea in the final in 2021 and in the semi last season. But what kind of shape are they in 2024 coming into this game? How scared should we be, basically?
Pretty damn scared. If you think of their midfield, Aitana Bonmati, Alexia Piteas, Patrick Guijarro, and Kira Walsh, and kind of Kira Walsh is the fourth member that you mention, and she was England's crucial player. So yeah, in very, very good form. Salma Paroeo, you know, brilliant in attack. I think that if you can break their press and get at that back line, that's where the vulnerability is. But their wing backs, Fridolina Rolfo, who, you know, scored against England for Sweden, Anya Batir coming from Manchester United, and then you've got Lucy Bronze. Again, Lucy Bronze is almost the third name that you mention. It's going to be tough.
All right. Consider us suitably frightened. Give us a prediction then, Charlotte, before we let you go.
I'll go 2-0 Barca.
Oh, crikey. All right. Well, at least it'll still just about be alive for the return at Stamford Bridge. Thank you very much for your time today, Charlotte. Really appreciate it. Speak to you soon.
No problem at all. Thanks, guys.
The game gets underway in Spain, 12:30 UK time on Saturday. The return at the Bridge is a 5:30 kickoff the following Saturday. That's the 27th of April. Elsewhere in Chelsea news, the under-18s played a league game at Reading on Wednesday. They won 4-1 with goals from Shimi Mueka, Frankie Runham, Reece Russell-Denny and Donnell McNeely. McNeely is up to 26 goals for the season in all competitions. Remember that Simon has profiled him for The Athletic. Go check that out, athletic.com/ChelseaPod, the place to go to sign up if you aren't currently a subscriber. That result means that the under-18s can win the UA Team Premier League South title as soon as Saturday. They need to beat Fulham and have West Ham lose at Leicester and Arsenal not to beat Aston Villa. Either way, it looks as though they are going to claim the title sooner or later. The under-21s play their PL Cup semi-final at home to Fulham on Friday night. You can join me for that one live on the Chelsea app if you like. All right, it's quiz time. Liam, you're up first. I think, you know, I'm going basically on the basis that if you take the first penalty in the shootout, you're more likely to win it, statistics say. So this is your week. I feel it.
Work for City.
He's also facing me. So
yeah, well, read that whichever way you like. Lucy hasn't written a tiebreaker, so she obviously feels that this one's getting done.
Do you know who Liam was playing?
I've written the questions just to be very clear, and here's the first one, Liam. Who scored Chelsea's goal away to Barcelona in last season's Women's Champions League semi-final?
Was it Gura Wrighton?
It surely was. Yeah, that is the Wrighton. Simon, here's your first question.
That wasn't my question. Go on.
Who did Chelsea beat in the 2021 Women's Champions League semi-final?
Leon.
Liam, you can steal it.
No, I said oh. Liam. I said Liam. So Liam, any ideas?
Was it Bayern Munich?
It was Bayern Munich, and it's 2-0 too, mate. Surely he's not going to throw it away from here, listener.
I feel like this could be an Everton at this rate.
Let's see how Liam gets on with question two, because this really would be putting his foot on the throttle. How many shots did Manchester City have against Chelsea in the 1-1 draw at the Etihad in February?
Well, I mean, this is like definitely not going to get this right if I have to get it exact. This is a tiebreaker question, really.
Management of a quiz.
I'm going to say 28.
Simon, you can steal it.
I think it was in the 30s. Is it about 33?
Oh, you're both very close. It's 31 was the answer. A related question for you,
Simon.
Oh,
off the post. Yeah, cool. Well, at least close. It's not going to be an Everton scoreline. Yeah.
What percentage of possession did Manchester City have in the 1-1 Premier League draw at the Etihad in February?
So it's not really, this element is not a quiz part, is it?
This is the third Chelsea-Manchester City quiz I've had to write this season.
Yeah, fair play. 71.
Liam?
Percentage possession. I'm going to say 74.
The answer we were looking for was 70. Very close.
Oh!
It's come off the post and the crossbar.
I feel like this is Chelsea's attack at Wembley, isn't it? Oh!
Right, so Liam is 3-0 up, I believe, Lucy?
2-0.
2-0 up. All right, so it's still in the balance. God, why am I so terrible at maths? Mr. Fenton was right.
Well, you mean I can get back to 2-2 if...
Yeah.
If basically Liam has not asked another question and you say, Simon, what's your name?
Liam, who did Chelsea beat in their most recent FA Cup semi-final appearance?
Well, their last one was 21-22 when they lost to Liverpool final.
One of those that should be easy in theory.
Who did they beat in the semi?
Brows all over the gaff at the moment.
Who did they beat in the semi? I only remember one FA Cup semi-final, which is Chelsea beating Spurs 4-2, because I was at that game and it was a great game.
Nemanja Matic with his...
Yeah.
Kurt Zouma's gif.
I'm just going to have to guess a Premier League team because Brighton.
Simon, get yourself back in the game.
I think it's the other side of the M23 Derby or whatever it is. It's Crystal Palace, wasn't it?
It surely was Crystal Palace. And even by my maths, I think that makes it 2-1.
As Dom's going to sack me.
The third question. Oh, man. I just wonder if you can recover from this, Liam, if you throw it away from now. Here's your third question, Simon. Whose only Chelsea appearances to date came in the space of 3 days against Manchester City last season?
Oh, it's Amari.
It certainly was. I'm going to need a full name, though.
Hutchinson, Amari Hutchinson. Sorry, we're on first name terms. after I went to see him, you know.
Tell Simon's in the quiz zone now because he's gone dark.
Have I?
It just got darker. Your
screen. Have I?
Yeah. Like that kind of vibe. It's tiebreaker time. Oh, Lucy. What was the attendance at the 1970 FA Cup final at Old Trafford? Let's have this as a message me privately, please, so we don't get any shenanigans.
Not from a phone.
All right, I'll fill for a little bit while we wait for it. As Lucy puts, the first time Chelsea won the competition against Dirty Leeds, a team who Chelsea have already eliminated from this season's Football Association Challenge Cup. So we're talking about the Old Trafford one, not the Wembley one here, Lucy, correct? Yeah, okay. So the Old Trafford attendance is what we're looking for. Both the guesses are in. And I can tell you that the answer was 62,078.
It's a lot lower than
that. Our winner today by a fairly wide margin in the end in terms of this question is Simon Johnson, who guessed 60,099. Liam's 94,000 was a little wide of the mark.
I guessed higher than Old Trafford's capacity, and let me tell you why. Because I was thinking along sort of 1920s lines when people and their dogs were like packed in like sardines, just standing.
Yeah. Oh, Liam, I feel for you. It was there, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I had to uphold the brand.
Okay, fine. I like the way that you're shrugging it off. Simon, pleased?
I feel like this is a good omen. Or maybe this is as good as it gets.
We'll see.
I'm not sure I want this kind of drama on Saturday, though.
Yeah, we're all going to have a lie down after this. And we are nearly wrapping up the show. But before we go, normally I'd ask the chaps for some plugs. We're going to go one better today because Simon's been speaking to Alex Matos, the Chelsea midfielder, is currently on loan at Huddersfield, battling to stay in the Championship. We can hear from Alex now, talking about his next move, his relationship with Maurizio Pochettino and more.
Obviously, my chance is my parent club, so I'll have to go back and see, you know, what they say, really, see what I want to do really for next season. So you never know what can happen, really. So I think this conversation just needs to happen. And when I do go back sooner, I'll have this conversation. I'll have my mind will be much clearer on what I would do for next season.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you've made a good impact on Pochettino. I asked him about you And he said, this was one of, he said a lot of other things, but this was the thing that made me smile. He said, he kicks you and smiles at you.
Oh, yeah.
When talking about what you're like in training. Was that a sign that you weren't afraid of being around Chelsea first team players, that it didn't intimidate you to train against them?
No, the more I trained, the more comfortable I got, really, with the players over time, then it just became natural. So, you know, I just tried to do my best and tried to do my thing all the time in training to impress the coaches.
Did Mauricio sort of talk to you very much, or one of his assistant coaches like Jesus?
Yeah, Mauricio and Jesus talked to me a lot. You know, I have a good relationship with Pochettino and the coaching staff. So, you know, I talked to him a lot whilst I was there. You know, we had good conversations. So, yeah. He just said, you know, what do I want to be? You know, what's the next best for myself? And I said, I need to go out and play football. He's gone on loan, really. So, and he accepted that and he understood.
Oh, was that a chat in his office?
Yeah. I just ignored the time that I needed to go and play, so I spoke to him.
So you went to go see him?
Yeah. It was a time for me to obviously go and play, and I needed to play first team football, so I went to him and I spoke to him, and he accepted, really.
But that says a lot about you, Alex, because, you know, a lot of youngsters would be like, I'm in the matchday squad on a weekly basis. And yet you were like, yeah, I'm sure you thought this is great, but you're like, yeah, but I want to go and play and prove myself.
Yeah. That was the conversation I had with him. So I said, I need to go play, you know, first team proper minutes, you know, and prove myself, really.
Were you the slightest bit nervous about the conversation, how you would take it? Or again, were you just like, no, I know my pathway, what direction I want my career to take right now?
No, I wasn't nervous at all. I needed to do that for myself, really. I felt the best decision for myself to go and play and to show people what I can do on the pitch. And that's pretty much it, really. I just said I needed to go and play. And I just went up to him being straight honest. And, you know, that was the situation, that was the conversation, really.
Simon, how did you find Alex?
Very cool, calm and collective. I just found it fascinating that he must have mentioned the word, as did I, to be fair, pressure a number of times. And he is in a pressured situation. Huddersfield, third from bottom in the Championship, facing relegation. And his first season as a pro. This is his first loan, that he might be feeling the strain a little bit, but he's loving it. And I did also, as part of the piece, go watch him play at Bristol City last weekend, and amusingly, just to show what he's like, he's not afraid. He's 19 and he's basically telling his teammates what to do, including the captain. He sort of had a go at his captain a little bit when he wasn't in the right place. And when Huddersfield scored, he'd just been subbed and he's walking around the pitch, and he's already on a yellow card, and he joins in the celebration on the pitch, which a few Chelsea senior players have been booked for this season. So he then quickly walked away rather sort of sheepishly, sort of hoping the referee didn't spot it, because he would have got a second yellow if she'd been aware. But no, very sort of down-to-earth guy, but don't underestimate him. He's very ambitious, which he showed by telling Mauricio Pochettino, essentially, look, being part of the matchday squad isn't enough for me. I need to go out and play minutes, get minutes. And he's been virtually never present for Huddersfield Town, although his coach, when I asked him about what the future holds for him, did bizarrely have, well, not bizarrely, but did have some quite a bit of a word of warning for Alex not to get too carried away too soon.
He's got a cool name, the Huddersfield coach, Andre Breitenreiter. Huddersfield, a point inside the relegation zone with three games to play. So Alex will play Bashir Humphreys Swansea next, and then on the last day of the season, they take on Amari Hutchinson's Ipswich. So lots of Chelsea angles to go out there. Liam, what have you got up on the site, or what are you planning for readers to enjoy, please?
There's a mammoth Cole Palmer read going up on site, I believe on Friday. I say I believe because I have to write it. But we've been speaking to a few people breaking down Cole Palmer's game ahead of what is likely to be one of the defining games of the season for him and for Chelsea.
Really looking forward to Saturday's FA Cup semi-final. Don't forget to sign up for The Athletic. If you aren't currently a subscriber, athletic.com/ChelseaPod, the place to go to do that. Read all of Simon and Liam's excellent work and Charlotte and all the other great Athletic writers who cover the game. Leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and follow us on X at SO Cobham Pod. We'll be back in your ears with another show on Monday. Until then, thanks to Liam, Simon, Lucy, Charlotte, and you. Bye for now.
The Athletic.